Portions of the show may be previously recorded. Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I'm going to start the show out by talking about something called contrarian theory, and we're going to work our way through two stories that are macroeconomic stories. In other words, what's going on with the investment world nationwide, so to speak. And then we're going to come back in the second half of the show. We're going to talk about some microeconomics and talk about real estate ideals that people specifically have for themselves. So we want to go ahead and get started here. We're going to talk about an article that came out here, and Marcus Milchap put this out. It's called Employment, July Employment 2022. And it starts out like this. Hiring continues in the high gear with implications for real estate and Fed policy. Job growth continues at consistently above pace. Employers add 372,000 personnel to payroll in June, bringing the total job count to within 0.4% or 0.4% of February's 2020 high. June marked the fourth consecutive month with an unemployment rate of 3.6% and job creation in the high $300,000 range. All right, I'm going to stop right there. What they're talking about here is what Biden, President Biden, is bragging about, because we have all of this employment, right? And there's new jobs being created all the time, and there's a low unemployment rate. Now, the Republicans are going to counter that with many arguments, one of which is, you know, not everybody's working right now. There's a high unemployment rate. Not everybody's working. And that's a bad thing because they've all been put on the dole. And because they've been put on the dole, they've got money saved up from doing nothing during the pandemic time when they were getting paid to do nothing, right? So argument goes back and forth politically. But what we're looking for is to get beyond the politics of it all and look at what it's actually going to mean to us as real estate investors, not because we can't make money in good times or bad times, which we can, but just because we need to know which direction to be looking at things from. And in this particular case, if the unemployment is low and people are getting jobs, and I read in here somewhere that there's, and I'll probably come to it later, that there's 1.9 jobs for every person looking for a job, what should our play be? And the first point should be, we need to be raising the rents. And that would be if it's conjunction with the ability to raise rents, in other words, high occupancies. And the answer is yes, we do have high occupancies. And yes, we have high absorption, which means whatever new property has been put on the market, they're being leased up quickly also. So between high occupancy and very quickly leasing up the vacant stock that's available, and the fact that everybody's got a job, our first thought process as a real estate investor should be, if we own real estate right now, we should be raising rents, right? So that's got to be the first thing that comes out of this. So let's go a little deeper, another sentence or two, and see what else we get out of this document. It says, while last month's hiring trails measures from earlier in the year, it is nevertheless well above other periods of tight unemployment. Encouragingly, robust unemployment growth is occurring in sectors that have already surpassed pre-pandemic headcounts, in addition to the fields that continue to steadily recover. So what they're saying here is that we're already back to where we were pre-pandemic, and yet we're still continuing to grow. So what does that mean? That means that that's a positive headwind. That's a positive headwind for being able to rent stuff. That's a positive headwind for being able to sell your product to people. People are employed. They're making money, right? And so all of those should be positive to operators right now. If you've got real estate right now, you should be truly considering raising your rent. So how are we raising our rents? Well, I've seen two different factions out there. I've seen the aggressive faction and the conservative faction. And the aggressive faction, which is more likely in a situation where you're taking over a new property and you're wanting to get out the old tenants, which you know are not going to be willing to pay the kinds of rents you're expecting, especially after you've done upgrades and so forth, and you're looking to move the property to reposition it from a Class D to a Class C or from a Class C to a Class B, etc. You're moving the clientele out and bringing new, different clientele in. Very difficult to take a Class D client and make them pay Class B rents. It's just not going to happen. Not to mention there is some socio-political differences between the clientele also, which does not make them want to live together, right? Et cetera, et cetera. So in that case, you may be wanting to jack the rents hard, right? So let's say that you're looking at this thing and in poor condition, the owner previous to you had rents that were, let's say, $800 a month, and now you want to move this thing. Well, you might jack those rents to $1,000 to $1,100 a month right off the block. Just boom, jack them up. And in that particular case, you're not afraid that people move out. In fact, you're kind of hoping for it because that allows you then to come back and redo that unit and get the higher rent, move somebody in that's going to be a better quality tenant and so forth. Now, let's look to the other side. Let's look to the side of the conservative investor, probably somebody who has pretty tight occupancies, pretty full, had it for quite a while, has been nursing their occupancy and nursing their rent increases along over a period of time, and they're more conservative because to them, turnover is their biggest cost. If vacancy isn't a cost, turnover becomes the largest cost. So every time you move somebody out, that costs you a month's worth of rent and a cost of a make-ready. Whereas if you don't move somebody out, it doesn't. So here's what happens. You get a different type of a rent increase from these type of landlords. What happens in this case is we look at it and say, okay, right now you're $800. The market's $1,300. We don't want to lose you, so we're going to only raise you up to maybe, you know, you're at 800, we'll move you to 900 or 950, something like that. 900 if you want some upgrades, say, well, I've seen you doing all kinds of upgrades and I've been here 6, 7, 8 years. Okay, maybe you need some new carpet, maybe you need some new flooring or whatever. We might do something like that or some new appliances because all yours are old and worn out. We might do something like that, but then we have to take you up to 1200. Instead of $1,300, because we're giving you a little premium just to stay. Why? Because it costs us less if you stay. There's no turnover costs. Well, in this case, if we gave them some extras, there'd be turnover. And typically the kinds of extras we offer when somebody is staying is to clean their carpet for them, unless it's just destroyed from 10, 12 years used, and we might replace their carpet, which is very, you know, a minimal type thing. You can get in and get that done in one day. And, you know, then they're happy again, et cetera, et cetera. You might need to paint one or two walls where they've, you know, just had a lot of abuse from kids or something. Whatever it is, a small little change, cleaning, upgrade of some type might get you. Now, if they move out, you've got no incentive to do anything but to raise it all the way to $1,100, move it all the way up to where it should be. We are looking at some macroeconomic changes that we want to try to input into our business practices. Wage growth, a factor in federal decision making. By raising borrowing costs for employers, The central bank intends a drop in labor demand to help temper inflation by cooling wage growth. Average hourly earnings were up 5% year over year in June, down from recent months but above historical averages. While higher wages help employees keep up with their sticker shock, they simultaneously contribute to higher prices going further by lifting production costs. So, folks, I'm going to share with you a story that I was taught 15, 20 years ago by an economist. And the guy said this. He said, look, there's no such thing as inflation. Inflation in a truly economic society we have, where it's a market society, inflation can't exist. Why? Well, if there's too much bread made, people stop buying bread and the price of bread comes back down or goes down. If it goes down, then people will stop making bread. If there's not enough gasoline, then somebody will figure out how to make more gasoline. And so if there's not enough gasoline, the prices of gas will go up, and eventually the market will find a way to get more gasoline and the prices will go back down. This is true of all commodities and all products. Eventually, the marketplace will figure out how to supply the product to the demand and to the demand level. And so in there may be inflation in a short-term period. In the long term, there really is no such thing as inflation, except one type of inflation. And that's what they're talking about right here. And that is employment inflation, wage inflation. In other words, when a person gets up and goes to work and he demands more money for that work, and the employer elects to pay that employee more money for that work, that can't go away. In other words, the employer can't go, I'm just going to stop having that worker. Because if they stop having that worker, then what happens is there's no work being done and there's no products being produced. Now, over the long term in a market economy, technology, reorganization, new systems, more education, better training will try to wipe that misappropriated wage increase out. And eventually it does, as you can see, it happened in factory workers, and they had these massive unions, and they started jacking with wages and benefits and wages and benefits and wages and benefits, and business just simply put their factory on the back of a boat and sent it over to China. And boom, wages came down. So it can be in the long run beat, but in the short to medium term, wage inflation is what really makes a difference. So here's where it gets really slippery about this whole conversation. As Biden is sitting there bragging about low unemployment, right? The very fact of the low unemployment is what is stimulating the Fed to make massive changes. In other words, this low unemployment is the stimulation the Fed's looking at right now to make it consider going up another 0.75 point in the end of July. So what does that mean to us? Well, they're trying to slow down the employment and the wage inflation, because the rest of the inflation will work itself out. You know, when Biden got up there at the beginning of the year, whatever, he said, this is just momentary inflation that's coming about because COVID pent up buying. There might have been some truth to some of that if he hadn't have also destroyed gasoline, you know, the fuel supply at the same time. If there hadn't also been a war going on, which started messing with the food supply. But the bottom line is that that pent-up buying demand would have gone away eventually. But once you have no unemployment and you have people there that are demanding higher wages, if you've got two jobs for every one person looking for a job, you're going to have to pay more money to get people to come work for you. I've already started to feel it. I've had some of my staff tell me the employees working for us are starting to talk about wanting to get paid more and so on and so forth. And how we handle that will end up dictating what happens in the effectiveness and the profitability of the companies that we run. Wage inflation is a real inflation. It's not going anywhere, right? So if that happens and the Fed raises interest rates another 0.75 point, look what's happened. From them doing the half or the quarter point to half point raise they did in the beginning, and then they came back and did 0.75 points, it has slowed down the buying volume massively. It hasn't eliminated the buying. It has slowed it down. It hasn't lowered the prices, but it has stopped price growth. So what happens if you go up another 0.75 points? Well, the reason they're going to go up another 0.75 points is because they want to knock that wage inflation right in the head with a baseball bat. They want to knock it down. And if the wage inflation comes down and people are hitting massive inflation on the front end of what they're paying for things, but not getting raises and wage increases to put up with it, then they're going to slow their buying. And when you slow the buying and you slow down the traffic, what happens? Well, now all of a sudden prices go down. And in a long, drawn-out argument and battle, if you talk to brokers in real estate, you say there's too much pent-up demand for buying in real estate. It won't go down. There's too much pent-up need for places for people to live, so it won't go down. And all those arguments are true. They're all there. They're all visible. Yet, if people can't get the money to buy a home, if the interest rates get so high that they can't qualify to buy a home as far as the lending goes, if the banks continue and the Fed continues to tighten its monetary policy, which it says it's going to do, money's going to become tighter and tighter and tighter, then even though there's really no downward pressure on prices, there is a downward pressure on buying. And when there's a downward pressure on buying and it's strong enough, then it becomes a buyer's market. Now, that's when we do the best in the real estate market. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
The roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Stop waiting. Stop sitting around. Stop procrastinating. This is your time. Make it happen. Do it now. When's the best time? Now. People go, well, I don't know. It's going to crash. It's going to be better next year. I've got to listen to four more classes. I love guys come up to me and tell me, you know, I've been listening to you on the radio for 8 years now, right? I go, and you're not rich yet? Well, really, I'm thinking about joining next month. Do it now.
Learn the skills you need to retire with real estate in 5 years or less. Do it now. Register for the Lifestyles Unlimited free online workshop, lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing the macroeconomics of what's going on in our country right now in the commercial real estate investing and actually residential real estate investing also. And what you're seeing is that because of the interest rate increase, the buying has slowed down. The prices have not come down at this point. However, what I'm starting to see is I'm starting to see situational opportunities where people that have loans that are running out, and we predicted this, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, this is going to happen, but didn't know how far down we would be. But right now, people are running into situations where their loans coming up and they see their interest rates have gone from 3% when they bought it up to 5%, and it could very easily be back up to 6%. And you've got people in situations where, well, just quite honestly, a full harbor makes all boats float, is an old saying, which means that when everything is rocking and rolling and prices are going up all over the place and there's no place to live and rents are flying through the ceiling, anybody and everybody who can operate a piece of real estate any way, shape, form, wrong, good, bad, ugly, are going to stay in business and do well. But when it starts getting tougher and you start needing to know what you're doing and you start finding that there's going to be weaknesses in the marketplace, then you're going to see that the people with skills are going to get better and better and better deals, and the people without skills are going to get worse and worse and worse deals just by situation. So what's happened in the last couple of years is that if you look at it, the international money comes in here, right? And you have international money and you have big pension funds and you have all these people that have all this money they need to get rid of. So what are they worried about? The number one most important thing is they're looking at the U.S. as a strong economy. The economy's booming, right, for years now. And they're saying this is where our money should be. There, you know, you don't realize this. There are governments out there that have negative interest rates. There are governments out there that are going broke. There are governments out there where people are starving. They're in massive recession. You just don't feel it because we live here in the U.S. I mean, I know we've got all of these crazy people complaining about how bad the U.S. is. The U.S. is incredible compared to these other places. The only thing we have is some crazy people. The only problem in our society today is that fringe people can get to the microphone. If you could keep the fringe people away from the microphone, the rest of us would be happy as could be. Right? It's just the fact that the fringe people for the first time are getting to the microphone. So if you take a look at that, the government, the economy, and everything is really strong. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. You're living good, folks. You're living good compared to somewhere else in the world. So that's why the money flows in. It flows to the U.S. It flows to commercial real estate. The second reason it flows into the U.S. and into commercial real estate, it's because in traditionally we have higher yields in this country. You just don't realize that around the world, people don't make any money. Zero coupon interest bonds in other countries. 0%. Some of them have negative. In other words, you're paying for the luxury of not losing your money. It's a ridiculous concept. And all over the world, you've got these mini dictators to just steal your money. You got these major dictators that just confiscate your assets and your resources. And you think that Chinese people like Chinese people. They don't. You think that Korean people and South Korean people like Korean people. They don't. These people hate their countries. They hate their leaders, no matter what they tell you in the news. They hate living there. They hate the country. They hate the leadership. Russians hate the Russians. Everywhere where it's a dictatorship, everywhere where there it's a socialist or communist country, these people are living in misery. They won't tell you that because they won't let those people speak. Because there is no free press in those countries. So when you come here, people are happier. People are investing. Things are positive. And our rates of return are skyrocket high compared to everywhere else in this world. You'd think they'd even themselves out, but they're not. Let me give you an example. Average cap rate in the U.S. is 5.9%. That's pretty doggone high rate of return for no leverage. That's no leverage rate of return. If you go to some other place like UK, which is Europe, they're 5.5. They're behind us. If you go to some place like Canada, which is more socialistic, they're 5.3. If you go to Germany, which is even more socialist, it's 4.7. If you go to Singapore, it's 4.1 average cap rate. If you go to South Korea, the average cap rate is 3.8. So you see, all of those people who can get their money out of those countries are going to bring it over here because it makes more money. The last thing is market stability. We're not perfect. The socialists in our country are trying to take us over and take away our rights, and we're still the least socialistic country in the world. And what does that mean? That means market stability. It means safety. It means, hey, I'd put my money here just because I don't want it anywhere else. And a lot of money is here because of that, just because it's safe. It's stable. The economy's not up and down great tomorrow, and there's not 20% interest rates like there is in South America and just crazy stuff. So the money's coming in here. So that's why over the last couple of years, the whole world's been dumping its money on the U.S., and they have billions of dollars, so they can't dump it into little things. They got to dump it in big, big things. Real estate is one of them. Commercial real estate is typical, and they're just buying the heck out of things. And when they do, they're overpaying for them because we're out there looking for a return on investment. We're looking for a retirement investment. They're not. They're looking for safety. They're looking for something that won't go down in value. So they're willing to pay a lot more for a good asset than we are because they don't care if they make any money with the asset in some cases. Put it this way, and definitely in less case than what we care about it. It's less of a priority to them. So they're willing to pay a lot more for the same piece of real estate. And we've been living with that. So we've been stuck with following their lead, with them saying, we'll pay more and more and more and more. We just got to get this. We need our money somewhere. We'll pay whatever it takes to win that bid. And that's what we've been living with for the last couple of years. But now there's something changing. Joe Biden and the Democrats have been able to completely turn the economy on its ear, or at least socialistically the way people believe our economy is acting. So right now, number one, inflation. Who wants to put your money in a country where there's 8% inflation? Who of us wants to be in 8% inflation? So people are holding back from these big investments because of the inflation situation. They're afraid of that. Not only general inflation, but specific inflation, like energy. Energy is something that people fear. If there's no energy, who knows what happens? I don't get how the Democrats can be so dumb. And I mean, I just put me in front of a Democrat and let me talk to him. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican, but I'm a human being. And there's not a human being in the world could have missed the fact you can't go green because everything green runs off gas. It runs off oil. It runs off fossil fuels. You can't even create charging without fossil fuels. It just, they're dumb as a rock. They think they're going to eliminate fossil fuels and there'll be no America. There'll be no country. There'll be no world. You go back to the Stone Age. But they're dumb as a rock and don't see that. And so if you say you're going to wipe out the energy in America, you're warning people. There's a cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, 80-year-old man that can't see straight, can't walk straight, running our country. And all the wackos behind him that are giving him his walking and talking orders. That's scaring people. It's really its policies that have just started to destroy our country at the seams. And if you don't believe me, believe his own people. I saw in the news today only 13% of Americans believe that the country is going in the right direction. 13%. Do you realize that in every political situation, 40% of the people are uncontrollably for the left, 40% of the people are uncontrollably for the right, and that 20% in the middle makes all the decisions? They're the ones that really think things through and make a decision change. But right now, even the Dems are not liking Joe Biden and his regime. And, you know, it's very easy for them to blame it on Joe Biden. And they want to pick at his age because they don't want to pick at his decisions, his policies. But everybody there knows it's not just Joe. It's the policies. So unless they can get rid of Joe and the policies are going to continue, and it's going to scare off investments, which, again, for us is a good thing because we're not going to be scared because we're not afraid that the world's going to end or go away. We know people are going to be there because we know the normal people. We know the normal people who buy goods and services. We know the normal people who live next to us and live in neighborhoods around us and in our investment properties. We know that 50, 60% of the people in this country are normal people. Let's say the 40% that's conservative and add 20% for the center, and those are normal people. Now, there's probably another 20% of the far or of the left that are normal people also and just have weird politics because that's the way they were brought up. But there's 20% of the far left that just is out of their mind, and they're in control of the country right now, and they're destroying it. The next thing you want to look at is the Fed. Because of this inflation, this massive inflation created by the policies of the left, we now have the Fed coming and kicking into its responsibility, which is to get rid of the inflation. So they are tightening down the money supply. They are raising the interest rates. And if you're an investor, whether you're from another country or from here or where, whatever, you know, that makes it tougher to buy. Right? Unless you're paying all cash, and some rich people from other countries are paying all cash. They're dumping their cash here. But other than that, I mean, you know, it makes it tough. And why is that important? Well, because this foreign money is only 10% of the total investment dollars out there in our economy buying real estate. It's only 10%. So even if half of them are paying cash, that's only 5% of the total people out there buying. Really doesn't affect the market. The market is affected by the fact that interest rates and, more importantly, the availability to money is becoming difficult. And as that happens, you're going to see more and more opportunity. If I were you right now, no matter how long you've been sitting on the sideline going, it's got to happen, it's got to happen, it's got to happen, there's going to be a recession, there's going to be a recession, it's got to turn around, I would right now change my mind and go, it's happening. I would get over to our courses ASAP and get educated on how to apply what's happening to your long-term investments right now. Because by the time you see it happen and we start coming on the radio telling you we're buying everything we get our hands on, we're blowing through our money left and right, because right now we're buying, but we're buying because we're finding opportunities here or there and somewhere else where people are starting to let things go through the cracks at good prices. We're already buying. By the time it becomes easy to find those type of things, you'll be too late. You trying to get into the market uneducated and not pre-qualified in a tight money situation in a world where they're not wanting to give you money and you're not educated and you haven't been experienced and you don't know what you're doing. You don't have the brokerage behind you. You don't have the finance companies behind you. You're not going to play, guys. You're going to be given the scraps, if anything. So you need to get out there right now and get involved and get going. So that's it. That's where we're at. We're at the moment now you've all been waiting for a long, long time. It's time to buy. And you better get ready and prepared right now. Get on over to Lifestyles Unlimited if you don't know what you're doing. If you do know what you're doing, get to your banker, your finance companies, your mortgage companies, and figure out where the interest rates really are and how hard it is going to be for you to get money and on what type of deals they will lend you money on. Now, I want to end with one last story here. A girl wrote me and she says, I've been reading, watching some crazy videos online I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to promote the guy. I don't even know who it is, so I don't want to promote it. But it sounds pretty crazy. And he's talking about right now that Lake Mead is drying up, which it is, and that that might mean that there's going to be no water for that whole area, which is all a desert. And is that a good opportunity because people are moving out because it's so difficult to get water? In fact, there may be no water at all at some point, or rationing, water rationing. And is that a good opportunity to buy real estate? Well, my friends, until there's some way to figure out how to fix that, I don't think it is. I think that could be a permanent black swan event that really just changes the whole value of that desert real estate completely for a long time until they figure it out. It can be fixed, by the way. They can pump water in from the ocean. They can use salination plants to fix that water, and they can do it, but it's nowhere near the water. And to do that, they're going to have to really up their construction of that type of water delivery system. So do I think that's a good investment? I don't think so. I think you might be trying to catch a dropping knife right there. In other words, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. That was the question was asked to me. I just wanted to answer it real quick here and finish this up so that they could make a decision on that. For the rest of you out there, remember this. We're not doing this for a little money. We're doing this for a lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.